Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Monday, June 24th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Artificial intelligence is helping criminals pull off more sophisticated frauds, and people of all ages are falling for them, collectively losing billions of dollars. We'll tell you what banks are doing to keep customers safe. And then, Fizz is a messaging app that lets students post anonymously about their classmates and police the rules themselves. Our family and tech columnist Julie Jargon will explain how the app works and what happened when kids at a high school in Vermont started using it. But first, online scams are getting more believable with the use of AI. A survey by banking software company BioCatch in April found that 70% of fraud management officials at banks and financial institutions said criminals were more skilled at using AI for financial crimes than banks are at using it for prevention. Here to tell us more about the new ways AI is being used by scammers and what's being done to fight it is our personal finance reporter, Dalvin Brown. So, Dalvin, AI can help fraudsters avoid obvious tip-offs like poorly worded messages or grammar mistakes. How else are they using AI to target potential victims?
Yeah, so scammers are using AI to create fake driver's licenses and identification documents. They're using AI to create fake imagery so that they can bypass typical identification mechanisms that banks have. They are using AI to gather information about people, guess what their passwords are, and attempt to log in into a wide range of accounts. Essentially, they're using AI to do the things that they've been doing, but just faster, more efficiently, and in a way that's harder to detect.
Can you tell us about the experience of some of the people who've been targeted by these scams?
Absolutely. So scammers are using social engineering attacks a lot, which is basically when they use AI to gather information about their target and then create messages that seem more realistic. So one of the people that I spoke to was Joey Rosati, who owns a small tech company. He got a call one day from a police officer that told him that, hey, you missed jury duty. Here's your social security number. Like, I know who you are. Just come down to the station to clear things up. And so because the officer sounded legit and had all this information on him, he believed it. But then as he almost got to the station, the officer requested money for a fine or transferred him to someone that requested money for a fine. And he was like, this is weird to, you know, have to pay for a fine over the phone. But that's the thing that these scammers do. They kind of rely on you feeling anxious or a sense of urgency to act, and then that's how they take advantage of you.
Dalvin, in 2022, the Federal Trade Commission said people reported losing $8.8 billion to scams. How much did they report losing in 2023 as the AI boom took off?
People reported losing $10 billion to scams, but the thing is, a lot of people lose money and don't report it. So it's really hard to know for sure.
What steps are banks and other institutions taking to protect their customers from these AI-powered scams?
Yeah, so banks know a lot about you. So anytime there's an attempt to log into your account that isn't consistent with your behavior, they know something may be up. And what they're also doing is like just figuring out more ways to flag when behavior may be inauthentic, when there may be one IP address trying to log into multiple accounts, things like that. They're also letting people know that scams are out there, and with the rise of AI, they may be harder to detect.
What should individuals do to keep themselves safe?
In order to keep yourself safe, you should, one, make sure that you're not reusing the same password across multiple accounts. You should also turn on two-factor authentication so you get a text or email whenever somebody tries to log in. And then if something feels off when you're exchanging money with someone online or over the phone, just like take a beat, break communication, call the number on the back of your credit card. Make sure that the person that you are on the phone with isn't the only place that you're getting information from in that moment.
That was our personal finance reporter, Dalvin Brown. Coming up, what could possibly go wrong when a messaging app allows teenagers to post anonymously about their classmates and police the rules themselves? We'll tell you after the break.
The The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Fizz is a private message board for college and high school students that lets them post anonymously. It also lets them monitor the rules for the boards themselves. Within hours of opening up to students at Vermont's largest high school in May, the app caused more havoc than the principal had seen in his 9 years on the job. Our family and tech columnist Julie Jargon is here to tell us more about Fizz and its impact. Julie, why was anonymous posting an important feature to the creators of Fizz?
The creators of the app said that people of their generation have grown up showing kind of their best lives on social media, and that people would feel like they had to live up to a specific type of ideal when posting. So they said that by creating an anonymous space, people could be more vulnerable and be more comfortable being real about things and not feeling the pressure of having to post the perfect, you know, pictures and their perfect life. But what's happened is with teens in particular posting anonymously, that can very quickly lead to things being said that they wouldn't say if their names were attached to it.
Sure. And not to pick on teens, I'm sure that might happen to adults as well. It's available to college students and it began rolling out to some high schools in April. Do we know how many users it has?
The app maker wouldn't say how many users there are, but Sensor Tower, which is a data analytics firm, had some numbers. They show that they have 113,000 monthly active users and that the app itself has been downloaded 600,000 times.
You wrote about its impact on Champlain Valley Union High School in Vermont. How did the kids there find out about the app?
Well, it started out with an Instagram account that was kind of mysterious that started following students at the school. And it was saying coming soon, and it was promising that it would be a place for students to share confessions and crushes. So people were curious about what this was all about and then went to download the Fizz app. And that's when they started entering this school community where teens were posting anonymously. And it started off, you know, with what you might expect, memes and jokes and things like that. But it quickly turned pretty dark, where students were uploading pictures of other students and making fun of their appearance and disabilities of some students. And they were posting photos taken at parties and insinuating that the people in them were drunk or high. They were making allegations about teachers and administrators and claiming that they were having affairs with each other or with students. All sorts of things that became pretty concerning to a lot of the students and administrators at the school.
What did the students say about it?
I interviewed several students who felt that it was pretty disturbing. They had reported this to administrators who started trying to investigate what this was all about. Apparently, it was a pretty chaotic scene for about a 48-hour period at the school. Students felt like they had to keep checking the app to see what was being posted about them. And the principal described it as being driven by fear that all these people were downloading the app to make sure they weren't the subject of some sort of cyberbullying. Students also said they felt they couldn't trust other people. They didn't know who was making these posts. And so that led to like paranoia and speculation about who was behind the mean posts. And the school community ended up reaching out to Fizz and asking to remove the school from the app. And Fizz did agree to remove it.
What are Fizz's rules about content when you're talking about bullying or hate speech? And who's responsible for ensuring that those are followed?
Yeah, so Fizz does have community guidelines that forbid people from posting private information about fellow users, and they prohibit bullying and hate speech and that kind of thing. But the problem with this is that student moderators are the ones that are the first line of defense. There are more than one student moderator, and they all have to agree. They don't know who each other are, but they have to agree to take down a particular post. And the principal interviewed some of these student moderators in Vermont, and they were saying that they couldn't keep up with the volume of posts and reported content that people were saying was violating community guidelines, and that it just got to be really overwhelming. Now, Fizz does also have a central team of trusted safety employees at its headquarters in California, and they make the final call on flagged posts. But the first kind of line is the students themselves.
What impact has FIZ had at other schools?
Well, there have been a number of colleges who reported that there was bullying and offensive posts. The University of North Carolina system plans to block FIZ and some other similar apps. And apparently at other high schools, this has been a problem too. FIZ says, though, that they've only removed one other high school community, which is a school in California. But I have heard from other parents that FIZ has been a problem at additional high schools, but maybe they didn't specifically ask for it to be removed.
How does FIZ make money?
It doesn't. It's free to download. It currently does not have ads, although FIZ says that they eventually might have ads on the app, but it does not make money. However, they have raised more than $40 million in venture capital funding.
And do we know what their plans are for growing users on the app?
Yes, they're in about 60 high schools now, and they are planning to expand into more high schools. I asked if they were going to go to the middle school level, and they said they weren't.
That was our family and tech columnist, Julie Jargon. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang with supervising producer Catherine Millsop. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.